Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show that focuses on people and organizations making a big difference in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And joining us right now is Mr. Joe Juvenile. He's the event chair for the Dallas Heart Walk. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, Chris. Glad to be with you today.
Oh, yeah. This is. I'm so excited about this event. You've got the Dallas Heart Walk coming up in a couple of weeks. Actually, it's next weekend, not this coming weekend, but next weekend. Can you tell us a little bit about it? And also, at the same time, you have the Tarrant County Heart Walk.
Yeah, it's an awesome event, Chris. You know, it's been going on for years and years and years. The event, as you said, the event is on the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Both in Dallas and in Tarrant County. The Dallas event is at the Reunion Tower lawn.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be an awesome day. I can't wait. The Tarrant County event is actually over at the shops at Clear Fork.
Nice.
Where that event is being
very out. Nice.
Yeah, we're super excited about it. It kind of everything slowed down during COVID and crowds shrunk a little bit, and we really got started back last year. So we kind of broke the ice last year. And looking forward to, kind of getting this thing back on track to what it was in terms of the turnout at the walk itself.
This is what's so exciting about the Heart Walk. It unites so many different people in the community, and you're celebrating healthiness. We're talking about heart health. We're talking about mental wellness, mental health. Can you talk about the numbers of people who have attended in the past? And like you said, now that we're on the backside of the pandemic and the protocols are more relaxed, you should have huge crowds. Can you kind of go over some of the numbers? Because people, this last 6 months or so, they are really out and about more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the absolute peak, we had, 60,000 people down at Reunion Tower.
Wow.
and walking around downtown. Just really staggering numbers. And then we had, again, pandemic hits. We pivot and had just tons of people walking in their neighborhoods and social distancing and everything like that that was
going
on at the time.
Can you talk about that just a little bit? How you made the pivot during the pandemic at the height of it, in 2020 and early 2021. Can you talk about the different ways you said, okay, the strategy, we still want to do something great for the American Heart Association, and the walk is so huge. Can you talk about those exact things? Because I think it was fascinating for those who don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, heart disease didn't go away at all during the pandemic. In fact, the numbers are creeping up since, during the pandemic and since. So the work that the American Heart Association does has become even more important than ever. So, our executive leadership team had to make a lot of decisions. I mean, it was an easy decision to say, hey, we can't all get together because that just wasn't going to be feasible. So we kind of sat down and brainstormed and thought, well, okay, what can we do? How can we kind of bring together our community in some way, but certainly be respectful of the fact that, gosh, there's a worldwide pandemic that's going on. So, and we thought about it. We got a lot of ideas from all of our executive leadership team. And what we just landed on is like, man, we're seeing people walk around and exercise and ride bikes and do all these things in their communities more than they had ever done. You know, people are working from home. They want to get outside, but, you know, be safe. So we said, let's leverage that. Let's, figure out a way that we can get the word out. You know, still get people to understand that, like, there's fundraising opportunities here. There's a chance to rally around a mission, you know, where during that period of time, there was a lot of people that were just kind of like, hey, what can I do? You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm stuck in my house.
Yeah.
Got, you know, not used to this. And it ended up being a really easy decision, and the community really embraced it.
You know, you're exactly right.
Involved.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It was just a different way of doing it. I remember even like the kids were having birthday parties where it was like a parade down the street, as opposed to all the kids getting together in somebody's backyard. There were unique ways of doing things during the pandemic that made people who were stuck at home be creative. And I guess it actually allowed you to have tools to have on this side of the pandemic on how to heighten what you had been doing before the pandemic.
Exactly. And you know, it was a very successful campaign, you know, and really showed us a lot about, you know, different ways we could do things and thinking outside the box, and that, you know, that thinking continues on. I mean, we, you know, in years past, we didn't necessarily encourage people to, you know, or teams to like, hey, how can we track steps? You know, let's set some step goals for your company, you know, and it puts like, you know, competitiveness, right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, everybody likes a little
everybody likes
challenge.
Yes, exactly. The challenges. In fact, challenges are viral on TikTok. There's always a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, to say, you know, hey, you know, how many steps do you think your company can get in a week? Cause these guys over here say they can get 1 million steps. What do you think you can do? I'm going to do more than 1 million for sure or whatever, you know? So that friendly competition, you know, really helped and some of those things such as step tracking and competitions like that, continue on beyond just the pandemic now is where we are, where we are today.
You know, you say challenge, and I see that there is a Dallas Heart Challenge that culminates with the Dallas Heart Walk, you know, on Saturday the 24th. What exactly is the Dallas Heart Challenge, may I ask?
Well, the Dallas Heart Challenge is really, you know, I guess it's all the various things that the AHA pulls together during the course of the year, right? There's there's lots of opportunities to bring people together, you know, whether it's, you know, galas that happen. There's the Côte d'Or, which is a big gala that happens. There's Cycle Nation, which is a really cool kind of a, you know, different kind of spin, for lack of a better word, where you know, our bikers, our bike riders in the community, where they can come together. It's held out at Clyde Warren Park, and it's just an absolute blast. You know, where again, it's just these opportunities where people can circle around the mission in lots of different ways, to support what the American Heart Association is trying to do. And really, you know, we can all do our part to connect to our communities to help where we can.
And, you know, you mentioned all of this and, you know, a lot of people who have jobs in corporations, that challenge is part of the activities of your corporation. You could check on your laptop or your office portal and find out, because there are programs tied to the different corporate organizations of overall employee health and trying to make people as healthy as possible and re-engaging again, reconnecting with colleagues, getting physical activities together. I mean, it's a great cause, the American Heart Association. Again, we're talking with Joe Juvenile. He is the CEO, or actually you're the event. Are you the event coordinator or the event chair? What's the best way to describe what you do?
I'm the chair for the for this year's Heart Walk, yeah.
Right. And so the Heart Walk itself, let's talk about, you mentioned it's been a while, around for a while. Can you talk about how long, you know, Cross America, because the American Heart Association is arguably the leading nonprofit organization in the entire world. But in the United States, they came up with a walk. And I know it's been around for a while. I don't know if you have all of the details, but people would love to hear the story of how, even if just locally, how it came to Dallas and Tarrant County.
It's a great question, Chris, and I don't know if I have all of the details.
Well, best you can.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that the American Heart Association has been around for, I think, almost 100 years.
Yes.
Okay, so... you know, there's been, I'm sure, countless different ideas and things that people have come up with of like, you know, hey, what can we do to get people connected?
Mm-hmm.
And the Heart Walk is just such an interesting one because, you know, number one, it's an opportunity to fundraise, which is important because, you know, all the research, all the programs, everything that happens, it costs money to do, right? So it's an opportunity to help fundraise, but it brings things like a heart walk. It brings people together, and
yeah.
It's not just the people, you know, it's not just like myself and my partners that I work with that are going to be there. You know, everybody is encouraged to, you know, bring their friends, bring their family. Like it's a great family event as well. You know, time to just get everybody together. And then finally, it happens to be, you know, built around an activity of moving, right?
Yes.
Moving more, having some exercise.
Yeah.
So it's like this trifecta. And because of that, it's stayed around. Now, I can't tell you how many years it's been around,
mm-hmm.
But I can see exactly why. And having been involved for, I don't know, almost 10 years now, it's just crystal clear why it sticks, you know, why it makes sense, why you can bring 60,000 people together at the base of Reunion Tower. Because and anybody can do it, right?
Yeah.
Anybody can show up there and do it. So
when you say do it, let's break it down for those who are curious. And there's a mm-hmm. lot of people listening have done it before and so glad it's back in full
yep.
force. But can you talk about, like, is there a length of the walk, the distance, which direction you might be going
yep.
from Reunion Tower lawn, which is absolutely beautiful. I mean, like I said, I've been over there a number of times. It's just a nice part of town. And then talk about, you know, the different activities that they have along the way, because I know they always have a little bit of food, little beverages and things, and there's always something
yep.
going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so there's two distances actually. So, because you know, the longest is a 3 mile walk and 3 mile walk is not for everybody.
Right.
So there's a 1 mile loop. You kind of like you reach a certain point and you have a choice to make, Chris, where you can say,
the fork in the road.
Right. 1 mile is good for me today.
Yeah.
You take that turn.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to do the 3 mile. And when you get about a mile and a half out there and you reach the midpoint, I think you're going to find, some refreshments out there, a little bit of music, a little
yeah.
bit of encouragement to turn you around and head back to Reunion Tower. So, you know, and at the starting, you know, at the starting area, there's a lot of, you know, there's information for people, there's activities for kids, there's,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody's, you know, you can't find somebody that doesn't like a good selfie. There's some selfie stations and different stuff like that. And look, there's some people that they're just not ready to do the walk for whatever reason, but we don't want those people to miss out on, you know, everything that the walk can bring. So there's people that like come to the starting area, and they hang out and wait for people to come back. And that's fine too. We just, you know, there's something for everybody, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah. It's like a festival. It's like you can go and you can be with a lot of people who have the same thing in mind. It's a worthy cause, the American Heart Association. And again, it's been around for years and years and years. And there's a lot of people through their jobs, but also through their communities that just say, you know, this is just a worthy cause. And I know I can do something to help. And whether they're actually walking themselves, there's a good reason to bring your family out there to meet up with coworkers. In fact, this activity actually combats burnout, promotes community engagement. There's so many pluses. Yep. It's like, why not? If you're not doing anything else, why not? And what time does it all start? What time do people start showing up? And when will the walk actually start taking place?
The walk, I think, itself starts at 9 o'clock. But, mm-hmm. You know, people can get there at 8 o'clock.
Sure. Mixing and mingling.
Hang out. And
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And it usually goes, what, 3 or 4 or 5 hours, something like that?
Yeah, in that range. I mean, you know, it takes, you know, takes about a, you know, could take an hour, you know, hour and a half, depending on your pace, to make it around the loop. If you do the three mile walk. But you know, if you do the 1 mile walk, it might take you, you know, 20 minutes, a half hour, something like that. So, but you know, when it's done, there's opportunity again for some fellowship and hanging out and talking with people. Which is great. Early forecasts, right, say that the day is going to start out like right around 70.
Nice,
It's going to be perfect, perfect walking weather. I wanted to just shine a little bit of light on something you said though, that, you know, is just something so important to me, to my company, McCarthy Building Companies that where I work.
Mm-hmm.
But you touched on it, is the importance of mental health and burnout.
Yes.
and the impact of that. I mean, so we're a construction company, Chris, mm-hmm. and you may not know this, but the construction industry actually has the highest rate of suicide of any industry right now, which is, you know, certainly not the kind of stat that you want to see. And it's events like this that we, emphasize so heavily because, you know, again, getting people together, getting out and moving around, you know, you're going to be in the sun, in this particular case. And it's just so important to find things to, you know, kind of get away a little bit and refresh and recharge. So it's, you know, it's something, you know, it's beyond, it touches so many places in our community. You know, it's just a great opportunity and I'm proud to be part of it.
I'm so glad you're a part of it too. And I'm glad you shined a spotlight on the mental wellness part of it, because seriously, I think a lot of people found out during the height of the pandemic that, you know, there was a lot of people going through stress. There were a lot of people who were keeping things to themselves, which, you know, unfortunately caused them to take their own lives. And I think September is also Suicide Prevention Month, one of the suicide prevention months, one of the mental wellness months. And
that's right.
You know, every organization has had to not only, you know, make the pivot, so to speak, as far as doing things the way they used to or trying to get back into the office, but also realizing that a lot of people, you know, when they were staying at home, they had to deal with things. And so when they did come back to the office, you know, they had to kind of get some footing. And then the smart companies were smart enough to say, you know what, the best thing we can do for our employees is be aware of their mental wellness. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. No, you're 100% right. I think it was always important, and it gave us the opportunity to really kind of focus on it a little bit more, probably talking about it more than we ever had, where before people were like, oh, I don't know if I want to talk about that or whatever,
right.
Like they couldn't. But now I think, It's critical. It's critical that we talk about it. And it opens the door to other wellness type of conversations.
Sure.
Where, you know, for me, I got involved with the American Heart Association because as I was kind of getting a little bit older, went and got my blood pressure taken on just a health screen. And they're like, oh, you have, you're pre-hypertensive. And I was like, no, I've always had great blood pressure. There must be some mistake. And they're like, okay, we'll do it again. And they're like, nope, we were right. And it just caused me to like, oh my gosh, I need to do some, make some changes, mm-hmm. lose some weight, just try to do a little better. And, you know, I think we can talk about these things now, like, you know, and be comfortable with. And I think it's a great movement that we have, in our communities that we can do that.
You know, a lot of people are in that same position. They were like, okay, I need to do a little something, get more healthy. You mentioned you made some changes. Tell your story a little bit. Tell everybody what made you, well, you said what made you make the changes, but tell about some of the steps you made. I'm sure they were incremental. And then why you decided, well, you know what, let me just do something with the American Heart Association since I'm an empathetic person anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No, I guess a little bit more of the backstory is I have some family history of high blood pressure.
Right.
And, with high blood pressure, many times comes, that you have to start taking medication. And I just really felt like it was too early for me to have to take a pill every day for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I know I don't want to do that. So what else can I do? And I went and engaged a nutritionist that helped me rearrange my diet. I got a little bit more consistent and disciplined about exercising on a daily basis. And really the combination of those two things helped me lose about 40 pounds.
Nice.
Which was, like you said, I mean, it wasn't like I didn't do it in a day. Okay.
Yeah, it was incremental. You didn't want to have a crash diet and all of a sudden get the bad habits again.
No, it took several months. And a lot of encouragement from my wife and kids because they were like, hey, we need you around here and we want to help you do something. Let's do it. So having great, a great wife, my wife, Marianne, is a tremendous partner, to me. And I've got two boys, and the combination of those things kind of made it, a little bit easier. So,
mm-hmm. So when you were talking about the exercise, were you taking walks? Hint, hint.
I did do that. I don't know. I'll plug them a little bit. If I can, if it's okay.
Sure.
But I started going to, there's a high intensity, training program, that's called Orange Theory.
Oh yeah. I've heard of them.
Orange Theory Fitness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're all over North Texas, all over the world now. But, that was for me, everybody's got to find their thing that they can get excited about. And for me, it still is Orange Theory. Other people do Pelotons.
Mm-hmm.
People want to do marathons. They mm-hmm. go swimming and even just a daily walk. I mean, a daily walk is all you really need at the end of the day. But, what can you do that you can get excited about and consistently do? That's what found me, and I was able to stick with it.
Okay, so you stick with it, and of course you're going to be walking on the 24th at the Dallas Heart Walk, excuse me. But you've been doing this for a couple of years now with the American Heart Association and the Dallas Heart Walk. Can you talk about how you did your first walk and then the difference between then and now?
Yeah, I mean, I think I did my first heart walk about 10 years ago, just as a walker, mm-hmm. right? As a participant. you know, our company has been involved. And again, it was really just like, hey, here's a heart walk. Let's go do it. Bring everybody in the office together. Sure. And let's go. And just, I think over the years, we really, I think like many companies, we try to find organizations and events and things like that that have a purpose that our employee base is excited about, right, and wants mm-hmm. to participate in. So as the years have gone by and our company has grown, our involvement has grown. I think it was in 2018, my boss, he was involved in at the board level at the AHA and was asked to be the chairman. And that really was the springboard, to be more involved with the executive leadership team of the Heart Walk, I started definitely feeling some ownership to, you know, how can I help to do more, make a bigger impact at the AHA?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, again, it continues to build the leadership at the AHA asked me if I would be interested in chairing it. And I mean, I was just honored to be able to do this because like the list of people who have been Heart Walk chair people over the years is like, I mean, it's pretty exceptional. And I'm like, gosh, how the heck am I on this? You know, how did I get to do this?
Well, you know, exactly. You're honored, you're flattered, and you said, okay, can I follow in these footsteps? Can you name some of those names? I know you can't name all of them, but just a few of them that you're like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, I mean, over the years, I mean, the companies, you know, there's been people at AT&T that have led it, Denbury,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think Trammell Crow, I mean,
yeah.
There's just like some of these kind of like iconic, Dallas
brands.
Companies that have been
yes.
around for a long time,
yes.
You know, that are just super, super well known and significant.
Well, Joe, I think it's going to be a major success because, like you said, the weather's going to be great. We're past the triple digits, I do believe, knock on wood. And, you know, I think the weather, especially this week, has been like fall-like, so why not? At the same time, there is a goal. There's a $6.2 million fundraising goal to support the life-saving work of the American Heart Association. I'm saying this to all the listeners listening to this interview. You know, if you show up to walk and even get together a team or, like you say, have a challenge, there's opportunities to help one of the greatest organizations out there, one of the greatest nonprofits. That's the American Heart Association. Can tell me if I'm wrong on this, because this is important, and it's a difference maker.
It absolutely is a difference maker. I would bet that the people that every single person that listens to this interview or listens to your channel just in general, you have been impacted by the work that the American Heart Association has done. I mean, the research that is done, the programs that are initiated, you probably don't know how much you have been impacted by them. The number of people that are taught CPR, the medical advances related to treating, cardiovascular issues. I mean, it's just, you know, just the knowledge of what is high blood pressure? How does that work? Maybe I should get it checked. Like all of these things, it starts with the American Heart Association. So, it is important, and continues to be so. So yeah, any support, that people can put towards the AHA, it's not too late to sign up for the Heart Walk. We'd love to see you, Chris. If you want to come around there, I'll be there in the morning. We can catch up for sure. I'll get you a cup of coffee or something.
I'm definitely going to catch up with you. I believe I'm on the radio at that point, but I will be talking about it. And at the same time, I have been in numerous walks. I love to walk. I've done a lot.
Yeah.
I've done the White Rock Marathon. I've done a lot of different things, 5Ks, half marathons.
Yeah.
That's my forte. I can't say enough awesome. About being physically and mentally healthy. That's what people need to be. And the American Heart Association, the Heart Walks, the Dallas Heart Walk, the Tarrant County Heart Walk, these are like incremental steps into making all of us feel better. And it also promotes community engagement. And that's the number one thing I think we all need to be aware of as well. If everybody is all together, then we're all united in one cause.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you, you know, giving us the chance to talk to you about this and connect with, you know, all your listeners. It's just a great opportunity. And we're fortunate that you've given us this chance. And I just want to thank you.
Oh, for sure. He is Joe Juvenile. He is the event chair for the Dallas Heart Walk, for the American Heart Association, the Tarrant County Heart Walk as well as both of them. Saturday, September 24th, that's the following Saturday. We want everybody to be involved if they can because, again, everybody likes to come together for a great cause, and this is it. The Dallas Heart Walk, the Tarrant County Heart Walk. Thanks again, Joe. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much.
And joining us now on the show is the COO of RAMUSA.org, Mr. Chris Hall. How you doing, Chris?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, I've been dying to talk to you because I've heard a little bit and I want to learn a lot more about remote area medical. I understand you guys are a pop-up that pops up in communities, underserved communities, and helps out with all kinds of medical and dental and on and on and on. Could you talk about the health services you provide?
Absolutely. So RAM is a nonprofit based out of Tennessee. We're based out of Knoxville. We've been in existence since around 1985, and we were founded by a gentleman by the name of Stan Brock. A lot of Americans will know him from the late 70s, early 80s. There was a television show called Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Yes!
And Stan was the man in the field. He was the guy that worked with Marlon Perkins that would wrestle anacondas and lasso giraffes.
That is a legendary show.
It absolutely is, and Stan was a legendary man.
Mm-hmm.
Stan, you know, came up with the thought of remote area medical when he was on the Dad and Hour Ranch in South America. He had an injury, and when they pulled the horse off of him, they told him, hey, Stan, hang on just a little bit. You're 26 days on foot away from the nearest medical facility. And so Stan had to endure just excruciating pain for days. Well, years after that event, Stan made it to national television. And Stan made a promise back to the Wapishani Indians there in South America, in Guyana, at that time known as British Guiana. And Stan said, if I ever make it famous, I will bring doctors back to the remote regions of the world so that you're not separated by 26 days on foot. So in 1992, RAM launched its first operation domestically here in the United States. So while we were doing clinics in remote regions, remote mountains of Mexico, South America, Central America, the need existed here in the United States. So we did an event in a little town north of Knoxville called Sneedville, Tennessee. And since that first event in the United States, the need has only grown. At this point, every year, we have requests to do around 450 of these pop-up medical, dental, and vision clinics. And how we do those is RAM actually has the equipment and logistical support to bring all the equipment into a community. A community reaches out and says, hey, we would love to have one of your events here, and we will plan an event from anywhere from 12 to 24 months prior to actually going to the event to happen. When we arrive on site, we use a team of volunteers to set up the equipment, turn it into a full-scale medical facility, and then provide free healthcare services to the populations in that community. And this is going to be happening down in Dallas a little bit later this year.
That is exciting and absolutely amazing. So you say later in this year, because you guys have had to plan this thing for a while. You wouldn't happen to know specifically what part of Dallas, because we can tease that forward as well.
Absolutely. So we will be in Dallas. The clinic will be open December 3rd and 4th, and it is going to be at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center.
Oh, yes, downtown Dallas.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's centrally located where everybody can come inside and see and seek the help. You say dental and medical.
Absolutely. So the services that will be offered at the event from the vision side will be full comprehensive eye exams. After that eye exam, you'll go into a vision dispensary and pick out brand new pair of glasses. We'll have a mobile eye lab that can produce the majority of those glasses on site at the event. So you can come that day, get an exam, and leave with a pair of glasses. For the prescriptions that we do not stock, we will bring them back, order them, and then we will deliver them by mail directly to the patient. From the dental side, we'll be doing cleanings, fillings, and extractions. And then on medical side, we'll do wellness exams, women's health exams, sports physicals, any of those things that are needed. And all of this is provided free of cost to the patients that are coming through the door.
This is fantastic. Is there like a registration? Is there, or you just wait in line? How does that, how do people get there? How do they find out the information and what makes them eligible?
So no eligibility requirements are required for the event. We serve patients on a first-come, first-served basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we will arrive into town usually 2 days or so prior to the event. The Friday before the event, they will open the parking lot, and patients are able to come and wait in the parking lot until we open the gates and open the doors at 6 a.m. on that December 3rd. While they're in the parking lot, patients will be numbered. They'll be processed and brought into the clinic based on the number they're given in the parking lot. And then from there, they will go directly to the main services they're requesting, whether that's dental, vision, or medical.
This is pure greatness. Again, you've been doing it so long, and I think now people can visualize it even better because, you know, word association, when you say pop-up, and that's what you've been doing in cities all around the country, but when you say pop-up, people immediately think about, oh, the food trucks that come up to you or they're at the park or whatever, but they automatically think the convenience of it all. And the different things that you can offer. And I like on the medical side of it, it sounds just absolutely amazing what you're able to provide for those who cannot afford it, those who are in underserved areas or whatnot, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So when Stan really formed the operation, he formed it to reach those people in the remote regions who
sure.
didn't have physical access to care. But what we've uncovered over the last 30 years is people can live next to the largest hospital chain in the world and still not have access to a dentist or an optometrist or have the funding to be able to pay for a dentist or an optometrist. So by us providing the services, it really takes a whole team to make this thing happen. Everyone from local community to the volunteers. Volunteers will travel in from all over the state of Texas, and even a few doctors and dentists will be traveling from outside the state of Texas into Dallas to be able to perform these services. And RAM couldn't do this without the generosity of the public
mm-hmm.
and the generosity of the volunteers that make it so. RAM has been, since its inception, completely supported by private donors. So we take no government or state funding to actually make these events happen. It's the generosity of the public. It's people helping people. Same thing at our clinic site. This clinic will have somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 to 600 volunteers for the 2 days that we're there. And it's truly the generosity of those volunteers giving up their time, giving up their weekend to come provide services to someone that they know cannot repay them and they are not asking to repay them. It's truly trying to give a helping hand to a community.
This is absolutely amazing. And again, you guys have been doing this for years and you've been doing it everywhere in the United States. And like you said, you're taking care of so many different people and the execution of it all is like clockwork. Can you talk again about how many months you guys have had to prepare for just the Dallas event alone?
Yeah, so the Dallas event is very similar to other events that we're doing around the country. Planning for that event goes anywhere from 12 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
So usually when a community reaches out to RAM and says, hey, we would love to have your event there, RAM will start that planning process because there's a lot of logistics that go into putting on one of these events. Everything from selection of a location to house the event, the number of patients that are coming through, the number of volunteers that are coming in, to just simple task of how do we feed the volunteers that are coming on site? If someone's coming and giving up their weekend to provide free services, we don't want them to have to worry about where am I going to get breakfast, lunch, or dinner while they're there. So the local community resources everything from lunch, dinner, breakfast to a location. And then RAM brings in all the hard equipment, all the dental operatories, the vision exam equipment, mobile optical labs, and medical exam rooms. We bring in all the consumables. So if you're a dentist and you want to volunteer, you don't have to bring anything special. Just show up. Of course, register before you get there. That way they can credential you and everything and have you ready to go. But then when it comes time for the event, you just show up and do what you're trained to do. Just provide care to patients from all over the community.
We're talking with Chris Hall. He's the COO of RAMUSA.org, Remote Area Medical. And like I said, this is such a major undertaking, and it's absolutely amazing what you're doing. One of the other questions is, Has it ever been in Dallas before or even North Texas before? Is this the first time? And what did it take to get you here? We talked about the preparation, but who made the call? I wanted to know if the governor made the call, the mayor made the call, or even just a doctor who was working in the neighborhood got a hold of somebody with RAM.
So it took all of that to make it happen.
Ah.
So for RAM, we have been into Texas. We've done several events. We do a lot of disaster preparedness drills in mm-hmm. the southern Texas and the southern Rio Grande Valley.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And through connections of doing that event, we've had providers that said, hey, we would love to do this in our area. This is our first actual full-scale event happening in Dallas that we've ever hosted. We've been in quite a few cities all around the state, but this is the first time coming to Dallas. And the team is excited to be there and to be able to provide the care.
It's going to be an amazing thing. And can you name some of the other cities or communities that you've done this in around the country?
Yeah, so we have been, this year alone, we've been in California, Pahrump, Nevada, up to Washington, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, Florida, Ohio. This weekend, we have operations in Middle Tennessee and Northern New York. So we've been all along the Eastern Seaboard, all the way to the West Coast.
Now, I know this year has been a little bit back to normal, so to speak, because we're on the backside of the pandemic. It's not, over by any means, but protocols are loosened up a little bit, and it's not like it was a couple of years ago. Can you talk about how the pandemic impacted what you were trying to get done and some of the things you guys have learned? Everybody talks about, well, we made a pivot, but at the same time, there are things you say, you know what? This turned out to be an advantage. We learned from this and we can do this now.
So absolutely. So the pandemic really kind of had to change the way RAM operated.
Mm-hmm.
Previous to the pandemic, RAM would get as many people gathered outside to bring into the event as possible. And obviously, as soon as March of 2020 happened, that became something that could be done no longer. So we had to change our process, kind of reinvigorate how we control patients as they go from the parking lot into the building, and then how they process through the system. We also had to change the way we set up our operatories. So all of our dental operatories will set up in 10 by 10 tents that have negative air pressure and HEPA air scrubbing technology that actually purifies the air inside the tent every 45 seconds.
Wow.
And to kind of put that into a standard, a surgical suite in the United States is required to cycle the air inside of a surgical room every 6 minutes. And we're doing it every 45 to 60 seconds. So we're making sure that it's the cleanest, safest spot possible to deliver this free care. It's not a facility, a hospital, that it's gymnasiums, it's arenas, it's convention centers
mm-hmm.
that we're turning into this medical facility to provide the care. And when the pandemic struck, it really kind of slowed the operation. A lot of events canceled across the country just because of the fear of the unknown. But RAM, during that time, there was about a 8-week period where RAM really had to kind of think, how are we going to be able to operate and continue giving this care during the pandemic? And as you said, RAM was able to pivot to come up with the operational plan that kept patients safe, that kept volunteers safe, and still provided the care. And we have been using that plan ever since April of 2022.
That is, like I said, you guys are just miracle workers. And I know you've gotten all kinds of accolades, and there's so many people who are involved that totally are empathetic with all of the work that you do. Can you talk about some of the volunteers and some of the people you have partnered with and how they've been able to grow this organization and the fact that you've been doing this for so many decades now, and now it's like everybody knows about you?
Absolutely. So it all started with the founder, with a man who had a vision,
mm-hmm.
and his vision was to help others. And after the first event in the United States, volunteers from that very first event kind of fell in love with that same passion, as this is a way to give care, and it has spread. There are countless people over the 30 years that have come and volunteered at an event that say, you know what, that was amazing, I want to do it again. Mm-hmm. And those volunteers continue coming over and over again, to the point RAM actually has a group of volunteers we call core volunteers. The core volunteers is kind of an inner cluster of volunteers that will lead different areas of the clinic when we go to set up. So as we're traveling to Dallas, we will bring about 3 to 4 staff members for the event. We have a team of about 16 core volunteers that will travel with us to the event to help set up the dental area. Everything from dental sterilization to dental x-ray, dental equipment. The vision side will have someone from vision exams, someone leading the vision dispensary, the vision lab. Same thing in medical, covering the whole medical area and the medical exam rooms, to how we register patients and volunteers. So those people that have been impacted or had an experience at a clinic where they just fell in love with it, continue to give back and continue to grow to make sure we're giving care to as many people as we possibly can. And that's truly our mission. Our mission is to prevent pain and alleviate suffering. And that's what our volunteers do day in and day out.
I know the patients that come through there and the people that come through just absolutely rave about what you do. I know there's some stories there. Have you ever had a situation on site where lives were actually saved?
Absolutely. So it's every single event that you go to that lives are changed. But there have been times at events where someone had, at one event I'm thinking of in Virginia, we actually had a patient that had closed angle glaucoma, which something, I won't say rare, but it is fairly rare. It was uncovered during the comprehensive eye exam at the event. The provider took notice to that, actually referred that patient to a local provider in the area for additional care. That care that was provided after the event saved that person's vision.
Wow.
If it would have went untreated for 3 to 6 months longer, that person would have been blind in both of their eyes. But because it was uncovered at the event, it was taken care of, and that person still has vision to this day. There's countless stories of children or even adults coming, getting their first eye exam and getting their first pair of glasses. And when they slide the glasses on and they walk outside and they can see the leaves on the tree, the details in the flags that are flying, those are life-changing moments. And it's honestly an honor to be a part of something that you can see so many lives impacted for the better.
We're talking with COO of RAMUSA.org, Chris Hall. Chris, talk about yourself. How did you get involved with the remote area medical and RAM? And tell us your story. Because, again, I can tell your passion, and I'm just pleased to talk with the CEO, COO of the organization, because, again, you've probably been there for a few years now.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Well, I started out with the organization at a really young age. I was 13 years old.
Look at you.
And my father encouraged me to do some volunteer work. And so I went with one of his family friends to an event. At that time, it was Expedition number 100 for Remote Area Medical. It was in 1997, and it was on a remote mountain in East Tennessee. The mountain was called Lamb's Mountain. And on that event, on that trip, I had an experience that really kind of shifted the way I looked at life. I didn't know that the life I lived was a pretty good life. I thought it was an average life. But the morning of the clinic, we were driving up this mountain that literally took four-wheel drive vehicles to get to the top. And at the top of the mountain, it was about 3:30 in the morning, there was already 400-plus patients waiting in line to receive services. And the event was still 2.5 hours from opening.
Wow.
And as we parked and we walked through the line, like I just wanted to talk to people. I wanted to talk to the patients that were waiting. And hearing the stories of the people of how desperate they were to see that dentist or that optometrist or that medical doctor really kind of played an impact on my life. So fast forward past 97, I continued volunteering through high school, through college. Actually, RAM kind of shaped my career as becoming an optician. I followed the optical career and started working for a global for-profit organization that sold glasses. And I was growing in management with that company and still volunteering my time. And then in 2013, Mr. Brock called and said, Chris, RAM is growing, and we need to do more clinics than we do now. Would you be willing to come on staff and help us grow the number of patients we see each year? And, you know, in 2013, I took that jump and been on staff ever since, and it has been a wonderful ride. Since that time, RAM has quadrupled the number of events we're able to do in each year. We've quadrupled the patients. Pre-COVID, last year we were treating around 50,000 patients a year. Post-COVID, that number drops a little bit just because the size and scale of the events are a little bit smaller scale. But Dallas is going to be a huge event. Dallas is going to be an event that can see literally hundreds, if not 1,000-plus patients while we're there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you were volunteering along the way before, you know, you took the leap and started working full-time. When you were volunteering, was it just in the Tennessee area, or did you travel very much?
So originally, when I first started, RAM was very focused on the Appalachian region.
Yeah.
So Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
So we did a lot of events in that area. But RAM had just started to expand and get outside of that Appalachian region. We started doing events in Florida, Oklahoma, Texas. And then a request came from California, and we ended up going to California. So I did travel. Early years, it was very Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia-based. But after probably about 3 or 4 years of volunteering, then I started to expand and get outside of the region to provide those services.
And now you've been traveling. So are you coming to Dallas? I'll ask you the Dallas part, but I'm assuming you've been traveling all over the country with the event. Or do you go to most of them or just some of them? What's your schedule like?
So I go to most of them. I can't say that I go to all of them, because as we've grown and started doing, there's some events that some weekends that we have up to 4 events happening across the country.
Ah, they overlap.
And it just physically makes it impossible
to
touch all of them. But myself and the other executives here at RAM, the CEO and the chief development officer, usually one of the three of us touch every single event. And it's there, one, we're there to really thank the volunteers for giving their weekend and giving the service, but also we're there to greet the patients.
Mm-hmm.
Those patients are the reason we're doing what we're doing. And there's a piece that when you see someone have pain alleviated, it really inspires you to keep going and do more.
Okay, so let's talk about the challenges sometimes of logistically doing one of these. Let's say you're invited to do one in a particular area of the country, and you're like, oh, wow. What was one of the greatest or unusual challenges of whether it was the setup or making sure that the people could get there, or the fact that they had to have the space? I mean, people like these behind-the-scenes stories because they love to pull the curtain back.
Absolutely. Pulling the curtain back, each event has its own unique challenges, whether it is getting patients to the site. We go to some locations where there's not transport or public transport for patients to get to an area. But probably the number one challenge that we battle crossing the country is whenever we go to there's certain states that will allow doctors to cross state lines to provide free care,
mm-hmm.
but the majority of the states do not allow that to happen.
Oh, okay. So, red tape.
So when we go into certain, yep, absolutely. So when we go into certain states that do not allow doctors to cross state lines, it hurts us because it takes our volunteer pool and reduces it down to only providers within the state. So it creates challenges. But Dallas and Texas have been phenomenal working with the state boards to be able to provide volunteer licenses for providers so that they could come in and provide care for short amounts of time, 3-4 days, at no cost. So cutting through that red tape makes the event typically much more successful in the number of volunteers we recruit, because the more volunteers we recruit, the better the number of patients we can treat in that weekend.
So let's reset once again. You're coming to Dallas when?
Coming to Dallas December 3rd and 4th of this year.
And there's people from all over the state of Texas, and maybe even some people coming in from Oklahoma, because Oklahoma, the border is not that far away. It's like 90 minutes away from Dallas. So I'm sure it's a full regional event, but it's a pop-up, and you're going to be there for these next couple of days, and it's absolutely free. We can't emphasize that enough, right? It's for those who need the services, right?
Absolutely. So we will not ask income questions, eligibility, nationality status, anything like that. We're going to ask you your name, date of birth, and where does it hurt? Where do we need to help? And those are the questions we ask and that we get the patients through. There's no charge at all. And I know that sometimes it's hard to believe in this day and time.
Yeah, it's almost, yeah.
There's no cost.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, there's got to be something here. You got to have some kind of card, some kind of medical card, some kind of dental card, some kind of visual card, right? But no, you don't have to have any of those things.
You do not have to have any of those things. If you walk to our front door and you tell us that you're John Smith, born January 1st, 1950, we're going to treat you like you're John Smith, born January 1st, 1950, and try to get you the best care that we can give you.
And where are you right now? In other words, the month of September, October-ish, what's kind of the schedule? Because people want to know where you are. Because, again, we're also doing this show. This is also on a podcast. The show is on radio stations all over North Texas. But the Odyssey app, its streaming service is worldwide. And, of course, our podcast can be picked up as well. So tell everybody the immediate schedule, because they're like, well, you know, I'm not in Texas right now. Where is it going to be, you know, end of September and, you know, parts of October?
So through September and October, we are in Sparta, Tennessee, Greenwich, New York, Belmont, New York, Pahrump, Nevada, Grundy, Virginia, Madison, Florida, Fort McDowell, Arizona, Greenville, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee.
That's where I'm from.
It looks like Lynn, Massachusetts.
Look out. You must have a bunch of 18-wheelers, too, or do you not? How do you guys travel?
We have a few 18-wheelers, box trucks, and some good-hearted people that drive it all across the country for us.
Now, you mentioned you volunteered when you were 13. If someone wanted to volunteer their services, they think, wow, this is such a, you know, I'm an empathetic person, and I love what you're doing. How can I be a part of it? If I wanted to volunteer, how can I partner with you?
You can actually go to our website at ramusa.org. On the top right corner of that webpage, there's a volunteer tab. If you click it, you can register as a volunteer, and you can see all the locations we're going around the country. And if you see one that appeals to you, feel free to register for that event, and then the team will start communicating with you of all the details prior to it happening.
Have you ever had a situation where someone that you've helped just said, you know, I've got to be a part of this? I mean, they were in line or whatever, and they said, what can I do? I want to be a part of this. Or someone of net worth, let's say someone with a major corporation, they say, you know what, this is a nonprofit we want to do some things with. Can you talk about those kind of situations? Because people who are listening, you just never know what they might be wanting to do with you guys.
Absolutely. So we, all the time, when we provide services to a patient, patients after they have services on a Saturday will show up on a Sunday just to give back their time. Patients will show up to pick up the parking lot, help sweep the floors after mm-hmm. we've closed everything down and get everything back to normal. So people get involved. And actually, of the staff Ram has here in Knoxville, we have around 52 people on staff. Of the 52 people, about 25% of them at some point receive services from Ram. And that being able to receive that service affected them enough that they wanted to give back in other ways. They started volunteering. They've came on staff. And a couple of those are drivers that drive our trucks around the country. They receive services, mm-hmm. and now they give back so that other people could receive the exact same services they received.
That's
great.
And
it's humbling and inspiring all at the same time.
Any partnerships? Like I said, there's sometimes major corporation heads or people on boards of directors. They'll say, you know what, this is a group that we want to do something with. Can you tell some of those stories maybe?
Absolutely. So there's countless partners that we have around the nation that have either been involved or heard about it, experienced it, and then after the event did something to really change the lives of other people. We have partners in the companies that we purchase all of our consumables from. There's a company, I'll use one in Tennessee, called Nashville Dental. Nashville Dental came, we started buying some supplies for them to use at our clinics, but some of their representatives came to an event and they were changed. They left that event and they went back to their company, and then Nashville started donating supplies to us. And every dollar that we save for donated supplies or reduced cost in supplies, Ram takes that money and turns it right back into more patient care. So when we're purchasing supplies, the more we save, the more we can buy with others to provide more care. And it's a great experience, and it's a whole circle of giving back. As corporations find Ram and find the ways that we can help a community, it gives them an opportunity to give back to that same community.
What is, out of the dental, the visual, and the medical, what is the one that is either the greatest impact or the one that most people seek when they go to the pop-up?
I think greatest impact, they're all around equal on impact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what people seek, typically around 60 to 65% of patients coming through our doors are requesting dental services. 30 to 35% are requesting vision services. And that last 5% is typically requesting medical services. And we get a question all the time of why is that? And, you know, over the years, medical care has been evolving and being open to a few more people. But the one thing, if you get a toothache, you can't go to an emergency room and have a tooth extracted.
Right.
You wake up and your vision's not well and you're blurry, you can't go to a walk-in clinic, get an eye exam, and walk away with a pair of glasses. And
right.
So that dental and vision service have been the kind of the pioneer ports of what we're providing. And then when the patients come in, while they need dental, they need vision, typically those patients have not seen a medical doctor either. So we have medical doctors on standby so that when they come in, they can do a full spectrum. they can get their eyes done. They can see a medical doctor. The next day, they can get their teeth cleaned. They can get their teeth filled, extracted. And so they can get full health care in a weekend.
This is fantastic. It's coming to Dallas on December the 3rd and the 4th at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center. That's the downtown Dallas Convention Center. And Chris Hall, is there anything else you want to let people know before you guys set up shop? Because I'm excited.
Well, I will say thank you for the opportunity of even spreading the word of the event. We are honored to be able to come to Dallas. If people would like any more information on how to be a patient or what patients, what services are provided, how to become a volunteer, they can visit our website at ramusa.org.
And he is Chris Hall. He is the Chief Operating Officer of ramusa.org. It's Remote Area Medical. The pop-up, again, is coming to Dallas at the Downtown Dallas Convention Center December 3rd and 4th. Everybody know it's absolutely free. Chris, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I'm Chris Ronald of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for joining me. And tune in next week as we focus on other organizations and people doing great things right here in North Texas. This is Better Living. So long, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.